Let's continue our worship by turning to the scriptures, the Word of God. Today we'll be reading from the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Please open your Bible to that passage. Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 2, beginning at the 4th verse. Please follow along as I read God's word. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I invite Elder John to come, who will be speaking and sharing God's word with us.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure for me to be with you on Sunday mornings. I was informed that only the right-hand mic works, so I'm standing over this side. Not that I favor you, the left side there's more, but because it's the only thing that works. I have asked the ushers to raise the screen so that you might see the theme of the church for this year. It reads, Building God's House Together. It's really a sort of an awkward translation from the more elegant Chinese verse. Usually we take this from the scriptures, so there's no additional translation that's needed. But this is a condensed idea of what we'd like to do in the coming year. And so we have to find a way of... The reason I say somewhat awkward, because the number of words that you can use, number of characters you can use, it's limited. You can't have a very long thing. And so there's a lot of discussion as to what are the words that goes into it. Now let's try to deal with what is the meaning of this. Perhaps you'll be thinking, this guy's talking about church building. This year we'll probably hear about church building. This is, well, I shouldn't say it's not related to church building, but what is a church? When we say build a church, do we mean the structure? Probably not. We are the church. Church is the group of the people God has called out to be his own. We are his church. When we say build the church, we are talking about building people. I want to share with you this morning about one of the sort of foundational concepts of the Christian church. And that is, I use a single word, grace. We read in today's scripture, therefore it is by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace. And we also learn that all the blessings that we receive is derived from God's grace. John 1:16 says, from the fullness of his grace, his, referring to Christ, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Where do we get our blessings from? From God. From his grace. So what do we mean by this word grace? This is a word, grace, a charis, or charis, if you want to pronounce English in the English way. Now, this word is used a lot in the scriptures and also in the literatures. It's a very common word. Aristotle would say, what is grace? Grace is helpfulness towards someone in need. Someone needs help, you help them. That's grace. But he adds, not in return for anything. Grace is given freely. Not in return for anything. Now, grace is is to extend favor or kindness to one who does not deserve it. Okay, this is a very important concept. You extend a favor or kindness to someone who doesn't even deserve it. That's grace. And this person can never earn it. It's not earned. It's given, it's not earned. And it's derived mostly from agape love, from God's love. So people will say that love that goes upward is worship. When we gather to worship God this morning, we're expressing our love to Him. When love expressed upward is worship. When love expressed outward is affection. And when love stoops, bends down, is grace. Now, this goes back to the Old Testament. The word hasad, or there's a word that's somewhat connected with the idea of grace, also has the connotation, the meaning of bending down, have the meaning of stoop. So love that stoops is grace. So one day when we get to heaven, St. Peter may ask us, how did you get here? What do you say? Grace. So how is it possible? What make it possible? You say, grace. You say, what's your name? You say, grace. It's grace. It's all about grace. Yet we live in a society, in an age, that we don't see much grace. Probably we don't see much grace at all. If you don't believe me, just take a ride. Just drive out to the streets. You'll know what we mean. Now, grace is other-centered. Well, we tend to be self-centered. This self-centeredness creates all these humanism, relativism. Oh, truth cannot be absolute. Why? Because you say that's true. This truth is for you. I have my way of looking at the truth. Man is the measure of all things. Moral, is this right or not? Well, you have your standards. I have mine. That's the essence of humanism. Self-centered, how I view the world, how I feel, what's my opinion, yet grace is other-centered. Now, grace is a gift. Yet, in the society we're in, we tend to be much more of the right conscious. We talk about the rights. This is my right. Human rights, women's right, this right, that right. You step on my right, I'll sue. That's sort of the modern battle cry. All right. I remember when I was a graduate student. I forgot which one I should contact now if I were still that young. Now, in Ithaca, I saw an ad in the school paper. It says, well, a foreign student is invited to interview with them, with the Murrays, and for the purpose of staying in their house, in their family, free of charge. I said, that is good. I don't have to pay anything. So I went and interviewed. I was on my best behavior. And this is Dr. Murray. And he said, is a physician. He said, well, why don't you come and live with us? I said, why do I live with you without paying anything? So, well, I have two children, two young daughters. And he said, I would like them to grow up not just seeing the white people, the American. This is not the whole world. The world is much broader than this. I would like them to sort of live and to know a foreigner. I'm a foreigner, you see. Oh, that's great. So I lived there for about 2 years until I got married. And I thoroughly enjoyed that experience. Mrs. Murray will cook dinner. I'll sit down and have dinner with them, and they give me a very comfortable room, a sunny, comfortable room, which means I always get up early in the morning because of the sunniness. But anyway, I enjoy that. You say, after that, should I say, well, Dr. Murray, thank you very much. How much do I owe you? But that's not expected. That's insulting, right? Grace is something, it's a gift. It's given. I didn't earn it. I am a foreigner. That's not because I make myself a foreigner. I mean, it's not earned. It's a gift. Grace is undeserved. We value fairness. Well, who should get what? This is related to this right thing that we talk about a little bit. We value fairness. I mean, if you go to Europe, at least my very deep impression of my stay in Italy was that those guys drive fast. I drove there. People ask me whether I dare to drive in Taiwan. I said, that's nothing. I drove in Rome. No, those guys drove fast. And a lot of cars, little cars, run real fast. And once I held a conference in southern Italy, and on behalf of the conference, I rented the BMW. So this thing goes fast. So as I drove down from Rome, I discovered something. The further down south you go, I mean, the speed limit is the same, something like 120 kilometers per hour. It's relatively slow, like a little bit less than 70 miles an hour. But the cars go faster and faster. And so I just go with the crowd. Maybe when it goes fast. I mean, accident is defined by two cars have different velocity. You don't want the same velocity, there's no accident. So you go as fast. I mean, they go that fast, I go this fast, and that's very safe. So I look at the thing. Oh, 180, 190. But this is kilometers. So this is well over 100 miles an hour now. So I just fly down the highway. Now, flying down the highway is one thing. But sometimes you see policemen, several of them, park on the side. And I look at them. So what do I do? I mean, in America, it's very easy. You see a policeman, you show your respect by slowing down, right? But in Italy, those guys don't even show that respect. They just go down. So I said, well, if they go fast, I go fast. So don't care about them. So when I arrive at the conference site, I ask people, I say, how come you guys don't even slow down to pay your respect to the policeman? Oh, they say, you don't know about Latin laws. I said, what about it? He said, fairness is crucial. If you have several people all breaking the law, they can't just catch you, unlike in America. If you break the law, if you are too fast, can catch you, right? He said, are you going too fast? He said, yes, you're guilty. But in at least in that part of Italy, they view things differently. They would say, how about them? Why do you only catch me? That's not fair. We value fairness. So in their case, everybody goes the same path. It's very safe. If you have more cars than police cars, then you are quite safe. Otherwise, I'm not so sure. We value safeness or fairness. And so in other words, something that I deserve, that is mine. Grace is not that. Grace is undeserved. Grace is unconditional. This society values performance. How well do you do? Then we decide how you're rewarded. It values performance. Old Smith Barney way is that, well, that was about 10 years ago. You don't hear that anymore. There's this guy who come up, he will say, we earn our money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. We earn it. We didn't, I mean, just do something rightly as we put in our effort and we get our rewards. We do things according to the merit of that thing. Christmas is coming. Laying off. You're laid off. You say, well, these guys have no heart. This is Christmas. Ah, but you don't understand. They were telling you, don't spend too much. So they don't lay you off after you spend the money. They lay you off before you get a chance to spend money. They were telling you when the new year comes to get a job, new job, that's a good time. Do it early. I lay off you off now. Well, that's something, I mean, it's well reasoned, but it's not grace. Now, that's the society and times that we live in. Is religion all about grace? Well, no, no. There's a lot of performance that's expected in religion. If you are Muslim, there are five pillars of their faith. Shahada, one of them, you have to make testimony that there's no God but Allah. Muhammad is this prophet. And, well, I'm supposed to say this in Arabic. Any other language doesn't count. It has to be in Arabic. I tried. It's hard. It's really hard. Besides, you don't understand it. And you have to pray five times a day towards Mecca. You have to give alms. You will fast during the month of Ramadan. And you will try to make a pilgrimage to Mecca in your lifetime. Five pillars of faith. Focused on what do you do, whether you achieve these things or not. If you haven't done this, boy, are you in trouble. Buddhism has a different view of life. Buddhists will say, the essence of life is that it is suffering. Everybody suffers. Life suffers. The Four Noble Truths, this is the first noble truth. Then what do? They say, that's because you desire. You desire. The third noble truth is that if you can control your desire, cease the desire, cease suffering. The fourth noble truth is the famous Eightfold Way. They tell you the workable ways that you can decrease or cease suffering. What are the famous Eightfold Way? Right speech, you have to say the right things, not harmful things, not exaggerated, but truthful speech. Right speech, right action, you shouldn't hurt anybody. Right livelihood, you have the right profession. If you're a fisherman, you probably hurt the fish, no good, so forth. Okay, the right livelihood, the right effort, the right awareness, the right concentration, the right thoughts, things getting harder. And the right understanding to understand what the reality is in itself and so forth. These are based, again, on performance, whether you can do these things. If you can do these things, come again next life, let's try again. And this is called, in this idea of reincarnation. Now, so actually, if you ask what is the essence of the Buddhism, actually these questions were asked many years ago. In Tang Dynasty, there was a very famous poet. His name is Bai Juyi. This is a very famous guy. And he once went to a mountain and to ask of a monk, a famous monk. This monk's name is it's a bird nest monk. Well, why is it bird nest monk? Because he lived on a pine tree up there. And so looks like he has built himself a nest up there. And so they call him bird nest monk. So he asked this bird nest monk as to what is the essence of the Buddhism. Oh, he said, because they actually are not getting along too well. They're arguing a little bit. So in the end, this guy's trying to say, well, if you think you are so great, let me ask you a question about the Buddhism. What is the essence of Buddhism? So the monk said, well, it's easy. He says, shun all evil, do all good. Shun evil, do good. So this guy, Mr. Bai, said, a three-year-old knows this. Everybody knows about that in the country, in China at that time, even now. Shun evil, do good. But the monk said, yeah, three-year-old knows. But the 80-year-old cannot do it. Here we know that here's the crust of the matter. Anything that's centered on performance, we are limited by the evil power, the influence in our heart. Knowing good is not enough. So what do we do? What about Christian? Christian faith is grace-based. God has accomplished everything for us. Isn't that great? We read about God as a gracious God. In 1 Peter 5:10, speak of God as the God of all grace. He sends, in Matthew 5, he sends his Son to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the unjust and the just. He is a gracious God. When we speak of the Son, even though Jesus was young when he walked on this earth, when he ministered to the people, he was a yaffer. He's in his early 30s. And he was graceful. He said that the Bible referring to Jesus is full of grace and truth. And when we give the benediction, which will be given to you in about 12 minutes, it says, May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Grace of Jesus. The Son is grace. And when we refer to the Spirit in Hebrews 10:29, we read of the words, the Spirit of grace. So the triune God is a God of grace. Church is his body, and the God fills, his fullness fills the church. So shouldn't the church also be full of grace? Is it? How do other people view the church? Christian church now I'm talking about. Don't they view us as a bunch of guys who are narrow-minded, judgmental? They only know not to drink, not to smoke, not to gamble. And very often very intolerant. We just ask this question, does a sinner, I mean a real sinner, not you and me, a real sinner, comes in amongst us, will he feel better? Or will we feel worse? Who are we? Who are we? I heard many people who have, after hearing about the doctrines and hearing about God's love, their hearts was moved by the Spirit, and they want to accept Jesus Christ, or even pronounce that he will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, but upon invitation to be baptized, it's no, I'm not ready for that yet. Probe a little bit deeper. Basically, they're saying, there's a lot of fun out there. I mean, if I want to be baptized into the church, I'm in trouble, right? I've already cited some of the things we should not do, and they want, well, perhaps I enjoy doing all those things. But I'm not ready for that because, simply stated, grace is lost. You know, there's a famous book called the what's that book? The Pilgrim's Progress. The hero of that book, whose name is, Christian. Now he's talking about the progress of a Christian. So this is an allegorical book. So the hero's name is Christian. We talk about his experiences, his progress. Do you know what was his name before he was Christian? He had a name before that. Graceless, that was his name. It's in the beginning of the book, so we read it too fast, perhaps we didn't notice it. But exactly that could be our problem. We should be a collection of people that expresses the grace of God, yet we're so graceless. Even the seminary, see that. I heard the story about the people who attended the Pittsburgh a seminary near Pittsburgh. He said there was this guy, probably a Chinese guy, the way that he spoke. He said he really is not a very good student. He said, why? Because he slept during most of his classes. I mean, if you want to sleep in the class, I mean, many students do that. I see a lot of students sleeping.
I mean, that's nothing new. But in the seminary? I mean, this is a place that you go to learn to serve God. If you want to sleep somewhere else, don't sleep here. God is watching. That's not very good, was it? So this look at this guy. I don't hear me. No good. I'm not listening. A lot of complaints about him. After graduation, they learned something. And this is the testimony of this person who told the story. Is that, she said, it's then they realized, because people after graduation go to different places of ministry. He was going to a place where Bible is illegal. You can't bring Bible in. He spent the nights, commit the whole Bible to memory. Everybody was sleeping. He was trying to memorize the scripture. So when he was sent into this new field of ministry, where Bible is illegal, he carries his Bible in his heart. That takes time, takes effort. And he spent all, I mean, during the day he has to study, even though he slept a lot. But during the night, he was really doing something which is quite important. Yet, how does other people look at him? Look at this guy, sleeping in class. That's why we talk about grace. Grace is not judgmental in that sense. We don't have all the information, and only God judges. Judge not. That's maybe the first step towards grace. The church may also seem to be performance-oriented. Jesus gave a story. He told a story about our mindset, a story about a master of a vineyard. In the morning, he went out and saw a lot of people looking for a job. At those times, if you earned one denarii, you earned the wage for a family for a day. Your family will be fed. So these people had nothing to do. They were waiting to find a job. So this master came out and he invited them to work in his vineyard and agreed to pay them each a denarii. So then during the 9 o'clock, he went down. This is still people. Those people got up late perhaps. Still waiting to be hired, so he hired them also. And during the noon, he saw some other people there standing there, nothing to do. He hired them. And then so forth until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's still people standing there. He hired them to work. All right, sun went down. There's no floodlights at that time. Everybody has to go home when it's dark. So he started to give out the wages. And he started from the people who came in last. He gave them each one denarius at full day's wage, even though they may have only worked 2 hours, maybe an hour. Gets a denarius. Oh, these people are so happy. Thank you, thank you. And so for then, the 12 o'clock guy, the 9 o'clock guy, all get the full wage. And then came the ones that came early in the morning. And the master also gave them one denarius. So these guys are very mad. So what? Those guys get one? I only get one? Forgetting that was the grade, that was the wage agreed upon. He's seeing other people getting more. I mean, if you were one of those workers, wouldn't you be mad too? Wouldn't you? How can that be? I worked so hard. I sweat all day. And I get the same as those guys. This story, above all other story, captures the concept of grace. Everyone that works, that will have to feed their family, it takes a denarius to feed the family. Give anything less, somebody will have to go starving. That's grace. People come in late sometimes for other reasons. Maybe traffic jam. But the Lord of the vineyard overlooks this. He only promised them, I'll give you the right amount. Come in and work. Actually, there's no contract.
for the first part, they have the contract. The house, the Lord of the vineyard only said, well, you've gotten what I promised you. I didn't treat you unfairly. So what was your beef? What was the beef? Grace is expected of us. Grace and love itself both has a certain quality to it. The Lord is good. Good means you see someone and say, oh, he's good. I'm not so good. But grace goes beyond just being good. Grace transforms. Grace transforms. People who are touched by grace should be graceful themselves. There's another story Jesus Christ gave about there was a servant who owed the master millions of dollars. Okay, those are very large numbers in Scripture. Matthew 18. He owes a lot of money. Entered the Lord. And he said, oh, I'm so poor. I can't repay you. What do I do? Don't throw me into jail. He said, all right. I forgave your debts. So this guy was so happy. He went around and saw one of his fellow servants, his friend, who owed him a few dollars. He said, where's my few dollars? Because, oh, pity on me, I don't have money now. No good, he said. You owe me the money. You can't pay it. I'll throw you into jail. Does this guy do things right? Of course they owe him money. Did they pay? No. Did they owe him? Yes. Should he be in jail? Yes. But that violates the principle of grace. So the master heard about this and said, what? I forgave your whole millions of dollars and you held the other people's little debt to you and throw them into jail, I'll throw you into the jail as well. If you forgive other people, the Father in heaven will forgive you. If you don't forgive other people, the Father in heaven will likewise not forgive you. Grace is something that we do not deserve. Once we are given grace, that grace should transform us so that we become graceful. Above all, above everything else, a church needs to be a collection of a body who understand what grace is, and when other people touches them, also know there's grace among them. My time is up, and I shall quit. When I come up here again, I don't know when, but I will be up here. We'll continue on this building God's house. Let's still consider some more practical area of grace, such as forgiveness. But today, I don't have the time. I will not do justice by discussing that here now. There are many good stories about grace and its transforming power. I'll mention one very quickly. Les Miserables, Jean Valjean, was kept in a jail because he stole somebody's bread for 19 years. Actually, it's 15, but he tried to escape. Or 5, but he tried to escape. So was in jail for 19 years. He got out. No place wants him because he has this paper, which everybody sees. Oh, he's an ex-con. We don't want him. So he doesn't know where to go. He ends up in the bishop's house. He stayed the night, 2 o'clock, woke up, saw a lot of silver goods. He said, wow, these things are worth a lot of money. So he stole the silver goods, ran away, caught by police. He now is in big trouble. Brought back to the bishop and said, is this your stuff? The policeman asked. And the bishop said, Benvenue, he said, yes. Oh, my friend, you left so in such a hurry. You left so early. You forgot that I gave you some even better things. Candlesticks. You forgot these? These are the best. So he gave those to him as well. He commended the policeman, "Oh, you're good guys. You're doing your job very, very good. But these are my friend. I've given this to him. So be on your way." He basically would tell, then he tell Jean Valjean that do not forget that you have promised to use this money to become an honest man. Now, I'm not sure Victor Hugo was a Christian, but here captures the idea of grace. Because after this incident, Jean Valjean became an honest man. The whole book, Les Miserables, is about this man and his work. Grace transforms. Gospel transforms because it's gospel of grace. That's the word in Scripture. It also transforms.